everybody, welcome to episode 251 of the Finger Guns Podcast. My name is Roscoe. How are you doing? Apologies for not being around last week. Life happened to everyone all at the same time. But at the same time, we thought, you know, probably best take a little bit of a break because we were full steam rolling ahead. Huge thanks to anyone that listened to episode 250. It was an absolute blast, but we carry on as ever. We got some rather kind of like crappy news to get through tonight, but we will get to it when we get to it. Joining me this week is Josh Thompson.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, bud. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thank you. How about yourself?
Very well. Very well. Had a lovely weekend. Fully refreshed. Played lots of games. It's been good.
Oh, love to hear it. Love to hear it.
It's been a solid few days. How's your 2 weeks been since 250, I guess?
Non-stop. Non-stop. Life things. I've been a seconded manager at my work since March, and it kind of just has become full steam ahead. So yeah, it's a lot of nights. So I'm living opposite to my wife, and it's just a strange adjustment. But you know, and the most important thing is video games aren't being played, which is a nightmare, because that's all we're here for, to play video games and enjoy them and talk about them. So I'm glad we're back this week.
We are back. And returning to the pod, of course, it's the one and only KB. It's Kat.
Hello.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Hey, buddy. I'm okay, thanks. I'm okay.
Now, you went pretty hardcore on your week off. You went to Greece. How was it?
I did. It was wonderful, thank you. I am a co-maid of honour for this particular hen do. My best friend is getting married in none other than the Natural History Museum on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's a lot of dollar. So I'm very pleased. Miles is a groomsman. I don't know how he's wangled that one. But it's going to be really exciting, and Greece was very lovely. It was just a nice temperature. Do you know what I mean? Like, I am so pale, I'm basically see-through, so I don't do very well with, like, masses of heat. And luckily, it wasn't masses of heat. It was about 24, which is doable. And especially, like, abroad is just a different kind of air, isn't it? It feels a lot fresher. So, whereas England 24, we'd all want to die. But Greece's 24 was very light and airy, so it was very nice, thank you.
Yeah, abroad sun is a lot more natural and
easier.
Yeah. But yeah, British sun is, get away from me!
It's like you, like being like there's a radiator being held against you at all times. Yeah. What is that about? I'd love to look into the actual real answer of why that's a thing. I might Google it while we're all chatting. Okay. I'll come back to you. I'll fact check it later.
That'd be great. And rounding off the pod, though you already like it, is it wicked? Well, I had up. It's Miles Thompson.
Hello there. Oh, God, I've been waiting to do that for so long.
Man, it's been a while. It's been too long.
Honestly, I get like a craving to need to do it, and I can't do it except on this podcast. Properly, anyway.
I love it. How are you, man?
I'm okay, thank you. I'm okay. Yeah, it's been a busy couple of weeks or so, but it's been nice in its own way.
Oh,
well.
Yeah. Must have been really busy for you. Sounds.
Yep, it was.
Like a lot of hard work.
It was, to be fair. Very, very tough. Yes. Cyprus is a tough place to be for 4 days.
Oof. Yeah, it's hard work.
To be fair, the 11 hours of traveling to get home again was not as fun.
11 hours?
Yeah, I left at 9 o'clock UK time, and I got back at... Actually, what time did I get back? I think it was later. I got back at 11 o'clock in the evening, UK time. So actually, it was longer. but yeah, that was a fun day. But otherwise, it was worth it, to be fair.
How did that happen?
At the airport for like... I got to the airport in Cyprus at 11. And it's 2 hours ahead. Then I had the flight. Then I had to tube for an hour. Then I had to wait at Houston for an hour because the baggage was late getting off, which meant that I missed the train I could have got by 3 minutes. So I had to wait a whole hour at Euston to get another one. And then I was on the train for just shy of 2 hours. And then I had to Uber home.
Yikes.
It was a day.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But it was all worth it. Well worth it.
You had a good time in Napa.
It was good. I didn't really get to see much of it because I was in an all-inclusive hotel thing. So I didn't actually see much of Napa at all. But the weather was lovely. The perfect, as Kat was talking about, overseas kind of weather where it's like that glorious sunny but without being too hot. And I just spent it by the pool and just chilled out with my friends. It was wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Fantastic. And now you're back in Stoke.
Yep, back in lovely old Stoke. I came back in my shorts and everyone looked at me funny because I was walking around in shorts at 11 o'clock at night.
That's brilliant.
Yep.
All right, then. Let's get to Game of the Week. Josh, what has been your Game of the Week? So, if you have had any time at all to play games.
Yeah, I mean, outside of what I can't talk about until tomorrow at 2 p.m., which won't be for another few hours if you're listening to this bang on the release. Look forward to that, everyone. You should be anyway, should be looking forward to that, because it's a double bill of something or other, or both things, so you can enjoy both from me. I have dipped my toe into the Great Barrier Reef and played a little bit of Another Crab's Treasure. This comes from Agro Crab, who previously developed Going Under, which is a criminally underrated game about working life and how hellish of escape it is. And it's tons of fun, and that's a roguelite. And this time, they have gone for a Souls-like, or they like to put it, a Shells-like. You play as a hermit crab who gets their shell repoed from them, because apparently he has to start paying taxes for no reason, which ends up meaning that you have to dive deep into the sea to retrieve your home. And I'm not too far into it. I've beaten about three or four bosses. Majority of them are optional. But yeah, it's kind of like a commentary on kind of the usage or the wastage of recyclable materials and pollution and stuff like that, but dealt in a way that's like very comedic and very satirical. And I think it's got that signature Agro Crab comedy where it is very like very Gen Z, but and very like meme culture, but very funny at the same time. There's a lot of accessibility options, so if you're not someone that's very keen on a Souls-like, and if you just stop listening after I heard that word, don't worry about it. There's a ton of options that can kind of make the game feel a lot easier. And if not, and you're going to go in playing it as intended, then you've got a contender for possibly one of the hardest Souls-like you've played. It's very fun combat. And you kind of basically, because your shell's been taken, you have to find a replacement. And that is basically any old detritus that you find along your travels. You kind of start with a can, like a soda can, as they say. And you can get like stupid things like thimbles, shot glasses. I think I had a broken egg at one point, a party hat. These are kind of a lot of the early game shells that I came across. And I'm sure there's more, but they all have their own different stats, their own sort of like unique powers. And the unique power is MSG, which is an ingredient that adds savouriness that a lot of people think is carcinogenic. And it's not as bad as you think, but it was just funny to call it MSG. And it enhances your umami power, which is another word for savory. So there's just layers and layers that are just embedded into the gameplay. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. The voice acting is cute. The main character's voice is very endearing. There's also a couple of YouTubers that I heard in there, like Michael Reeves. So that was cool. And yeah, I'm just having a pretty decent time with it. I don't think I've played enough to be very stuck in and engrossed. And I think because of my work pattern, I'm not getting myself stuck in as much as I want to, because it's been a bit of a slower burn than I anticipated. But overall, I'm really enjoying the vibes, really enjoy the gameplay. And if you're someone that kind of wants to dip their toe into Souls-like, I definitely highly recommend this because it's got everything and more than a game that From Software would put out, and it's just very irreverent.
It does look like a lot of fun. For sure. It's not, again, as you know, it's probably not a genre that I would normally jump into, but it does look like something that feels like a nice little gateway into that kind of world. So,
For
yeah,
sure.
nice one. Yeah, another Grub's Treasure looks really fun. Cat, your game of the week.
My game of the week is from inspiration of a tiny show called Fallout. You know that show about that video game that's got lots of expansions and different franchises and
Oh.
Free Fall, Vegas, Shelter,
Oh yeah, I've heard of it.
Rogers.
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
So I thought I'd give Shelter a bash. I started it a couple of years ago on Steam, and it must have bugged out in like the first 30 minutes because I just couldn't make out how to use it. And now I can't really understand why that would be the case because it genuinely is like an idle simulator. So maybe that was my problem. I don't know. Or I think it did just like bug out on me. But yeah, I'm kind of just enjoying the casualness of it. For any of those who don't know, essentially, you are an overseer of a vault. The end of the world has happened. Radiation is all around the world, apocalypse style. You build a vault and you have to house and look after a vault. And you have to create like kitchens and you have to create bedrooms. You have to look after your vault dwellers. You have to make babies. You have to feed them. You have to power it. You have to. And it's all very like idle simulator-esque. So it happens. You just upgrade with money, which is in the form of caps, like bottle caps. Go on little quests and adventures to find more junk to be able to turn into weapons. It's very casual. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's just something that I can dip in and out of when I don't have any brain space. So it's been a week.
All right. All right. Have you caught
Yeah,
the TV show?
I'd have. We've got one episode left and 15 minutes of the penultimate one.
Okay.
So we're just watching it with dinner. So we're so close to the end. It's very, very good. Really enjoying it. Yeah. Awesome.
Lovely. Lovely. Mars, what'd be your game of the week?
Well, it's been a while since I've been here, Roscoe, so I had a couple, but I thought I'd stick to the one which has gone up today, which is King Arthur Legion 9, which is a really weird name because you mostly play as just Romans for most of it. So it's another nerd game. You'll be pleased to hear you get to do the nerd again. Go on.
Nah.
There it is. Oh, God, I've missed that. So you are a Ninth Legion Roman general who died and has been resurrected somehow from the dead. And you come back with like a party of your Roman soldiers, and you're in like effectively a purgatory world called Avalon. And you get to make some moral choices as to whether you want to kind of tap into your demonness or whether you want to try and stay human, which naturally I always do. You've got to take the good path first time and then be an utter savage in the second playthrough. So you make some moral choices as you go along, and it's turn-based kind of combat. So you just take your party of six, and then it's the usual kind of very kind of abilities and skills focused kind of gameplay. And it's really quite good. It's very consistent. There's not like a whole lot of variety in like the objectives or the mission types, but the way that you kind of upskill throughout the course of the campaign is just really satisfying. And your main guy can do like a lunge attack, which looks exactly like it does in 300, you know, where the guy like launches forward with the two swords and like slashes them down. And there's just something about that just kicks ass, you know? And it's got a really nice kind of, for the most part, there's a really good difficulty curve, except there's like two missions from the end. There is this one combat encounter where the game just throws like 40 enemies at you, and it's like, yeah, this is fair. I'm like, it isn't. And I had to cheese it in order to get through it after like 10 attempts. And it genuinely came to the point where I was questioning whether I could be bothered to see it through to the end to finish it, because this one encounter was so badly balanced. But other than that, it's actually very intuitive. It's easy to pick up and play for a turn-based game. They can be really complicated. This one actually gets rid of a lot of the complicated stuff to make it more accessible. It's just got a really cool style. I joked about it in the review, but Kat asked, was it last year or the year before when you asked me the how often do you think about Rome thing?
Oh, probably last year. How often do you think about the Roman Empire? It was a TikTok trend.
Yeah, and I answered at the time, what was it, like a once a week or once a month? And you were
Yeah, you
like,
said something like
why?
once a fort, like once a week or once a fortnight or something. But like that
Yeah.
was the trend. You like fell into exactly all this discovery about men, males thinking about the Roman Empire, because this is just something that I've never thought about, unless, you know, the last thing I last time I thought that was probably when Pink Britney and fucking Beyonce did the Pepsi advert, you know, like 15 years ago.
It's the Eternal City, man. It was the one. It's yeah, apparently it's a thing that dudes love Rome. So yeah, this game is obviously based a lot in Roman kind of history inspiration. So naturally I loved it anyway, just by the fact that it was set within that. So I even managed to sneak that into the review as a bit of a joke as well. So that was cool. So yeah, I really recommend it. It did also crash on me, so just be aware it crashed on me every time I went to the menu between a mission. And we're not talking like a crash to Steam, we're talking like a hardcore, like your computer has to restart every time. So I'm hopeful they're going to fix that, and hopefully they'll also put the ending in, because I got to the end and it had a placeholder image. So yeah, hopefully they'll have the ending patched in on day one as well.
That is funny. I love
That
that.
is, I've not come across that yet in my time of reviewing. I've never had it where the ending just wasn't ready yet. But I'm assuming a day one patch is probably released that will put that in when it's needed. So yeah, very good
I hope
game though.
so. I really hope so.
What about you, Roscoe?
Well, Miles, what haven't I been playing the
Oh,
last
tell us
2 weeks?
everything.
Well, much like you, I was inspired by the Fallout TV show to get back into Fallout. But I went the route of Fallout New Vegas, which is available for free to play on Amazon Luna. So if you have yourself a Fire Stick or a Fire Cube, you can play Fallout New Vegas for free right now. So go and check it out if you can. And I've never played it before. I've played it for the very first time, and I'm having a really good time with it. I'm having a lot of laughs. It's very funny. It's very kind of iconic. There's a lot of wonderful Fallout-y moments in it. I've not played a Fallout since, I want to say, four. When four first came out on the PS4 all those years ago. So it was nice to kind of jump into the Falloutness of it all, and just kind of like regain that kind of joy of when you sort of play a Fallout for the first time. And New Vegas certainly had that. And it's yeah, it's really fun so far. I'm not too far into it yet, but having a good time nonetheless. Also been playing a game called Bang Average Football, which is a Steam game which is coming out at the end of the month. We've been very lucky enough to play it. We got a random email one day saying, "Hey, do you want to come play my Steam game?" And I had a read about it. I saw the trailer and I was like, "You know what? Yeah, I do." And it's a really nice game. If you can imagine, like Sensible World of Soccer meshed with Stardew Valley, that's pretty much what this game is. You play as a player who's going to a very rubbish football team and just essentially has to become their manager and make them better. You're a player manager, but at the same time, you're also managing the stadium. You're managing the town around the stadium. And so, you know, the town is very much in love with this football team, but they've fallen out of love with them because they're not doing very well. But it's all about, you know, re-energizing the love for the squad whilst also playing in the team. And it's a really sweet little game. It's a really nice little game. It's one that I've sort of been playing between my Fallout and Fortnite sessions, you know, just jumping on and having kind of an hour or two just to explore the towns and do the training, play the games. And it's a really sweet little game. I'm doing a review for it. It will be out in about a week or so, once I've got this big work week out of the way. But yeah, I'd recommend, if you're into Stardew Valley or any kind of like RPG simulator, Bang Average Football on Steam is a really nice little game. And one that I obviously would have never played if it wasn't for that email. So I'm glad that it made it my way, because it is delightful. It is delightful. I've also been playing Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves, which has now come out on PS5. Having a grand old time. A couple of my friends picked it up. So we've been setting sail and stealing all the treasure, having a grand old time back on the ocean. It looks amazing on the PS5. I don't know what it's like compared to the Series X, because I'm not one of those people. I don't really compare them, but visually it just looks stunning. So having a really good time. I also got very lucky and got myself a PlayStation Portal this week. I spent a few days with it now. It is a delightful little machine. I always said there's no kind of real point to it unless I can play it away from home. Like at work, and I'm able to remote play very smoothly at work. So as a device, it works for me, and it's something that I can use and utilize very well. And it's great as well. The screen is fantastic. The controller feels amazing. It's got a nice battery life, and it just works. So, yeah, I'm really happy with that. And I got a code today for a game that I've been wanting to play for a long time, which I can't talk about. So I've also been playing a little bit of that. But that's to come in a couple of weeks, because I've still got a little bit of a long old embargo on that one. But I'm very glad that I have it. And, yeah, I guess more will be coming soon on that one. So, yeah, a nice bunch of games. I kind of fell out of love with gaming, I think, for about a week or so, a couple of weeks back. I didn't really have much impetus or energy to play anything. But it's been a fun couple of weeks for releases and for sort of training back into the backlog, thanks to Fallout. And, yeah, back on the wagon. And looking forward to seeing what comes next from all of these studios. So, yeah, a nice concoction of things, Miles. A nice concoction of things.
The best way to be.
Absolutely. Right, do we have a quiz?
Oh, you know it, Bosco.
Oh, we know it. Oh, we know it.
We do have a quiz. I require your permission.
He needs access. That's the tone of Bosco. Bosco wasn't like, you know it, boss. It was like, you know it, boss. Like.
Oh, boy. There you go.
Thank you. To be fair, this might be the last one, because I was clutching a little bit at still finding more games to add to it. So,
you might... Stardew Valley version 400, but not any other versions allowed.
Oh, yeah, of course. You've got to be specific, you know?
Of the version.
Just Cause 4? Yeah, which version of Just Cause 4?
It's actually the Deluxe update? Ultimate Edition.
Which patch?
Oh, yeah, you got to get the patch note correct. Otherwise, you haven't even got it close, you know?
I'd say the Redfall DLC, but that's not happening anymore.
Oh, yeah, that Redfall DLC. That's definitely going to see the light of day. Oh, dear. Are we ready? Oh, sorry.
Dig in the Stellar Blade Rule 34 tab open there. That's bold.
Oh, wow.
You do you, King.
I love how you said tab. I don't have 10 of them open.
Just switching between tabs. Oh, let's look at all of it.
Gotta mix it up all at once.
I will say, if,
damn censorship.
If for some reason this is your first ever episode of the Thinking Yours podcast, firstly, hi, welcome. Secondly, this is a screenshot quiz. This is something Miles has done since the start of the year. And yeah, we all get very confused as to why he does it, because this is, of course, an audio medium. So you guys can't actually join in on this game. But you can! If you go to fingerguns.net, you will find a post for this podcast. Click on that post and all of the screenshots will be in that post. So if you want to join in, that's how to do it.
See, it all works. It just makes sense. It just works, as Todd Howard would say.
Yeah.
Apart from all of his studios now.
Yes, but we'll get to that. But
we'll get to that.
It just works, like Fallout 76 did. Anyway, are we ready for our screenshot quiz? Potentially the last one for now.
Well,
yeah. I'll be fuming if it is the last one. I'm going to say it now.
Well, yeah, I really enjoy these, to be fair.
Oh,
of course I enjoy them. Actually,
I enjoy, like, I've got a slow finger, but I mean...
I can't find my hand, so no, I'm not ready. Oh. Something's happened with my...
Oh, just can't play, game. Just can't win.
Yeah, Josh is out of the game. Get him out.
Get him out of here.
I will say that Ethan Lawrence is the current reigning champion of this game. Of the quizzes, anyway. Regardless.
Oh, some reactions, yeah. God, Zoom's been a while. Right, I'm with you. Also, yeah. I won that week. 250, I won. I just couldn't tell, Ethan. Super megastar, you just let them have the, you know, you let them think they win. But really, I won, just like every week. Sorry, Ethan.
Sorry, Ethan. I wasn't there, so I can't adjudicate, but sorry, Ethan.
Oh, yeah.
Also,
good. Yep.
Sorry.
Gorgeous.
Excellent quiz by Kat on that week.
Oh, superb.
Well done, Kat.
Absolutely smashed it out of the park.
Did they enjoy having like an actual quiz instead of my ones?
I think they were shocked that some of the quiz was about them.
That was,
you
yeah,
see
that was a nice
faces?
Touch.
Oh, you haven't got the video to it, but like their faces were like, hang on a minute, this is getting interesting. Because you should see their faces when they do round one, which is purely on finger guns, and they both die inside. They're like, oh, fuck. And like Chris does this big preface spiel about like, listen, man, I'm really busy, I haven't got time to. And we're like, don't worry, good. And then the next round, I'm like, now this is about you two. Their faces are like, oh, hang on a fucking second, lads.
I think we did all right, though, on our
side. We did, yeah.
So it was depressing that they knew more about finger guns than I knew about Ethan's career.
Oh dear.
That was shameful. But we move.
We have a new quiz and a screenshot.
It just shows what good friends you are, okay? You're not a fan, you're a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
That is true. That is very true.
There you go. See, it's fun.
Silver linings. Alrighty, are we all ready? Josh, do you have your hand?
Yeah.
Well,
two of them.
Oh, two of them. Excellent. Well, you can only use one.
Sorry, I'm just bragging that I've got two and Kat's got one.
Oh God, we haven't even started yet.
Okay, we really need to support Kat in this one. Let's give her a hand. Come on.
Nice.
Those dicks.
Thanks.
Okay, number one. Let's go. Oh, hello. If I could move the thing, that would help. Oh. Oh, Josh.
I got it from that little snippet before you struggled to...
That teeny little snip.
Go down there. Yeah, Subnautica.
It is?
Oh, I was going to guess that. I've never played it. I was like, I bet that's a fucking Subnautica. Oh, piss pants. Should have done it.
Got to commit.
Yeah, I do have to commit.
So, funny story, this one actually has the name on it, so I've got to be careful of how much I show of it. but number two.
Oh,
Roscoe, you're just ahead.
Oh, what's that game? The game that Paul loves. Hell, no, from Blood, Hell, Hell, Blood, Blood, Fire, Blood, Life.
I have no idea Green what Hell. Game this is. I'll accept it. You did get there. I'll accept it.
Green Hell.
Hold on.
Yeah, the name is very nicely in the bottom left there. So if you do pause to do the screenshot quiz and you paused it just before we said this, then hopefully you saw it. Number three. Oh, Josh.
Helldivers.
It is Helldivers. Well done. The OG. Number four. Roscoe, you were just ahead on that one.
That's just close.
I'm going to give you the chance of which one. You've got to lock in.
I was going to say which one. There's like 50.
Every single one has got a bloody petrol plant with red and white things on it.
Yeah.
Three.
It is not Just Cause 3, I'm afraid.
Fucking hell, you fucking...
Oh, no. Why is my hand not out?
I'm afraid Kat did have her hand up next.
Whoa, blip! I'm going to go Just Cause 4.
It is not Just Cause 4.
Oh, fuck off.
Josh. Now, the kicker is, if I fuck it up, there's still a 50-50 chance here.
Yeah.
So, I'll go Just Cause 2.
It is Just Cause 2. Well done, Josh.
I nearly went for 2, you know, because you always do the second in the sequel, which is brilliant.
I do, yeah.
Ooh, that's a nice tell.
It is a pattern. And now that you've said it, now I'm just going to have to go against it on purpose now. Number five. Oh, Roscoe.
Grand Theft Auto 4.
It is Grand Theft Auto 4. Oh, well done. I thought that was quite like a screenshot.
There isn't one. Get out.
You're right. There isn't one. Not for the base game.
Number six. Oh, Roscoe again.
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
It is Ultimate specifically. Well done. Good job. Yeah.
Breath of the Wild, Link so 2, easy one.
Yeah.
Nice. Like
too
it.
Crisp not to be Ultimate.
Yeah, exactly.
That is true, actually, yeah.
You ain't getting that kind of resolution on the Wii U.
Look at that fidelity.
Or the GameCube.
That fireball effect, it's wonderful. Number seven? Oh, Josh.
Is there Injustice 2?
It is Injustice 2.
See?
Good job.
Another sequel.
Oh, he's always sequelizing this guy.
Yeah, it's always sequels. Always. Number eight.
Looks dumb.
Oh my God, Roscoe. Literally a millisecond.
The Last Guardian.
It is the Last
Oh, I didn't
Guardian.
fucking put my hand up. I just clicked off of it. What the
Oh
fuck?
no.
Sweet.
Number
Boot there, cat.
nine. Josh.
Fucking Callisto
Fine.
Protocol.
This one was painful to put in, but I had to because I was running out of ideas, so I had to put this in.
Stardew Valley.
Yes, it is Stardew
Princess
Valley, the
Peach's
second.
Showtime. I
It's actually Stardew Valley 2. And the
heard
last
Princess
one.
Peach's Showtime went in a direction. So,
Yeah, me
was
too.
it this direction?
I wasn't
I'd
expecting
say.
that, but
Sounding
that's
a little. those mutations, they hit hard. And number 10. Oh my God, that was all three of you at the same time, but it's telling me Kat was first.
Well, it says it, but it's Sachia.
Yep. That was the other one that I totally forgot. I knew another one had the name on it, but there we go.
Slow
Which means
finger.
You know,
for
there's
such yet.
a thing called a crop. Well, you can crop.
Yeah, it's just not chaotic enough for me, you know? It's not fun. It's got to be fun, man.
I
Which
didn't think
means.
this was Baldur's Gate 3, though.
Or you can just go into paint and
So.
put a black bar over it, you know, give it, you know.
I could, Roscoe, but would it be as much fun?
Being more difficult, I suppose, for the quiz or whatever.
We're not here about difficulty. We're here about fun. And maybe this is fun. Who knows?
Okay. Honor.
Which means we do have a winner, which is Josh on 5 points. Roscoe, you got 4 points. It was a very close run contest. And Kat, you got the 1 point for to cheer at the end. But to be fair, you did miss out on a couple.
I did a slow finger syndrome. That's what I'm
Yeah.
doing.
Yeah.
SFS.
And this might be the last screenshot quiz, maybe for a little bit. Maybe. I'm saying maybe. I might still turn up with one next week
But
if I
why
can.
they're so much fun?
Oh, I mean, if you want me to, I'll find some more. That's all right.
Lindsay's gonna be devastated.
I know. I
There's a
think
lot
she
of
might be a
games
little
out
bit
there.
sad. There are a lot of
There's a lot
games.
of games out there, to be fair, Moss.
It's finding games that all three of you are likely to at least know of. That's the like trick of it, is trying to find all games that people
You're
know.
right, because I am such a big fan of Just Cause.
Well, it's
Isn't
very distinctive.
it? The
They're
Sims, Just
everywhere.
Cause.
Don't you know that I'm a girl gamer that only plays The Sims and Spyro the Dragon? Oh.
A tough life.
Sounds great to me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, thank you, Miles.
You're welcome.
Miles.
Well done, Josh. That's win number 251, I think.
Yep. I
Man,
was winning before I was here.
that's some consecutive record you've got going on there.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Right then, let's get into the news. And this was not on our docket until it was announced earlier today. Turned out to be the, well, probably the biggest news for the last couple of weeks. If you listen to T50, we really struggled with news that week, which was quite funny. But now we've had a couple of weeks to gather some stuff together. And unfortunately, the biggest news landed today. And it's not good news, but let's get into it. Xbox is shutting down Arkane Austin, Tango Gameworks, and two other Bethesda studios. Xbox is closing down four Bethesda studios, including Riffle developer Arkane Austin and Hi-Fi Rush studio Tango Gameworks. This is Chris Scullion over at VGC. Arkane, Tango, Alpha Dog, and Roundhouse Games will all be closing down, with some staff joining other teams. According to MMO sent staff, staff were told the news today over email by Xbox Game Studio head Matt Brody. A copy of the message was first reported by IGN. Arkane Studio and Tango have now confirmed the news of their impending closures via their Twitter accounts. Booty told staff that the decision was based on a reprioritization of titles and resources, and that some employees will be realigned to other teams and others laid off. He says, "Today I'm sharing changes we are making to our Bethesda and ZeniMax teams. These changes are grounded in prioritizing high-impact titles and further investing in Bethesda's portfolio of blockbuster games and beloved world, which you have nurtured over many decades. To double down on these franchises and invest to build new ones requires us to look around the business and to identify the opportunities that are best positioned for success. This reprioritization of titles and resources means a few teams will be realigned to others and that some of our colleagues will be leaving us." It goes on and on and on. Basically, just Microsoft came with a bunch of excuses. But here we are, another great studio closed. And, well, it's all sad times. Josh, how are we feeling about this?
It's heartbreaking. I feel like we've spoken about it for, well, we've pretty much had at least one story a week. If it's not on the podcast, it's because we kind of don't want to cover it because it's just not fun. I don't think it's fun for anyone to hear about on a weekly basis. But the writing was on the walls at the end of last year that people were basically saying it's going to get worse, and here we are looking at situation getting far, far worse. Just goes to show that you can make creatively successful, critically acclaimed, and award-winning games and still have your whole studio shut down, with Tango Gameworks being the one that's kind of had all the accolade most recently. I don't think it's I can't say that it's a bigger loss than others because I think all of it's a loss. Arcane Austin with Redfall, I think it's unfortunate that that's kind of like their resigning game that they worked on, because Arcane as a complete studio have amazing ideas, and I think Redfall's release was pretty much sabotaged by Xbox and Microsoft to an extent of maybe corporate meddling, that they wanted something that Arcane Austin couldn't necessarily deliver. And with Shinji Mikami leaving Tango Gameworks not too long ago, I think late last year or the start of this year, may have been the writing on the walls because he kind of cited that he desired to have more creative control and what he wants to do, and move away from survival horror as well. So maybe that was kind of him basically like, I know what's going to happen now. I know how Tango Gameworks were managed under the umbrella of Microsoft's studios, and I don't want to be a part of that. Which is crazy to think about, that Xbox and Microsoft want to kind of instill this relationship with a Japanese audience, and Tango Gameworks were kind of like the budding relationship with that, where they were kind of trying to break bread in a sense, where they wanted to tap into that market. And Final Fantasy 14 coming to Xbox is one of those steps. Acquiring Bethesda and including Tango Gameworks with that was another massive step. But then they've now closed their only studio in Japan. So God knows. I go back to the kind of podcast interview type thing that Xbox did when they announced that they were going to go across platform with four of their releases, and how Spencer was just talking about growth and what they need to do to carry on growing. And this is just that side of it, and it's the ugliest side of it, is that they are, what in their eyes, trimming the fat so that they can prioritize on the things that make them money. And I don't think they've got a plan. They're being very brutish in their decisions, and I think they're losing the faith, if not already lost the faith, of players. Definitely people that aren't tied to the Xbox ecosystem are already probably done with Xbox. But hopefully there's going to be an outcome that will on the consumer side, that will hopefully be a message to them to basically like, look, you can't just do this to the lives of so many people.
Agreed. This is it doesn't it feels obviously it feels calculated because they've kind of explained it in that way, but I think it feels like they've gone after the wrong people. I don't know. I think Hi-Fi Rush has been a somewhat a success, the PlayStation as well, along with Xbox and PC. And you can look at the back catalogue of Arcane Austin, if you ignore Redfall, and see that they are a hugely talented studio. And Redfall was a miss, but every studio has one, and it feels brutal. And unfair, I think is the word that kind of people seem to be using today. Kat, do you think Phil Spencer's turning into a bit of a villain with no real direction, just causing chaos?
I think that people will certainly see it that way. I think we had this conversation, didn't we, about the top of the tree and what really is the value in people who are at the top of the tree when it comes to game companies now, and what's business and what's passion. It's tricky. It's very tricky. It's hard because it feels like this one is, like Josh was saying, I don't think any is worse than the other, but I do see the impact this one has had on Twitter today as I was kind of scrolling through prior to the podcast. It's giving people, I guess, a sense of hopelessness. These are big companies, that, you know, these are the top dogs of the gaming industry, and it almost then feels like, well, if they're going to do... Do you know what I mean? Like, it's people's aspirations, people's dreams. It's tricky when it looks like they're turning into a bit of the bad guy. That's going to break a lot of hearts. It's gonna darken some clouds on people's dreams, aspirations. You know, energy, life, you know, whatever they've potentially sacrificed to be a part of the gaming industry, it's not an easy career to get into. Especially paid, and making a name for yourself. There's a lucky few out there that can do it, but it kind of sends a message that nothing is safe, that nobody is safe. And even like when Josh said, even when you're creating big numbers and accolades and a lot of buzz, you can still get shut down. And that's crazy, because if not that, then what? What's going to save people's livelihoods? What's going to save people's jobs? Because right now it doesn't look like Phil Spencer is. And that's a shame, because people want to have, I guess, hope in the bigger guy having their back. And that's not been the case, and that's sad. So, yeah, it feels heavy today.
Indeed. And it seems to go against everything he said he would work towards. For Xbox, you know, he said he was, I think a couple of E3s ago, Xbox star developer first. And it's like, well, you know, you've chopped off a lot of Bethesda already. And yeah. there's still plenty of studios that you can chop through if you really wanted to. But it's, I think fans seem to be losing their faith in him as a leader. Particularly on Twitter today, that's what I've noticed.
Yeah, and, you know, why not?
You know, and it's because, you know, they're getting rid of studios, but they're not announcing anything.
Yeah.
You know, they don't see, okay, we'll get rid of studios, but it's because we're working on this. And
yeah, there's no hope at the end of the, there's no buts. It's just, this is gone and that's gone and these people have been fired. And, oh, an email got sent out at 4 p.m. and then Twitter found out at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
It's that shit that actually probably hurts a lot for people, is that it takes 60 minutes. The world to have an opinion, or it takes 60 minutes for, I mean, I don't, that's just like an example. That's not what I've seen on Twitter. I have heard that an email was sent prior to, or I have seen that an email was sent prior to the announcement. And it's similar to like the Twitter cost, isn't it? You know, people got an email to say that they would lose access as of tomorrow. Like, if you are in an industry or career where you believe that at any point there is no security, that's already such a tightrope to walk, let alone all the difficulties and challenges that the gaming career has. And if you think that you're onto somebody like Phil Spencer, you know, you think, got it made. You're like, great, cool.
Yep.
He's a fucking billionaire. Great. You know, monopoly of Xbox, of Microsoft. You know, the support behind that. But no.
No, not even a drop.
Nope.
Yeah, it's a sad day. So what's next for Xbox, Miles? Just when they thought they were kind of looking forward, they seem to have taken a fair few steps backwards.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty nice way of putting it, to be fair. I have a lot of feelings about this, and none of them are good. And I'm just going to put this to you. So if we look at the two Xbox Bethesda-related exclusives that have come out, One of them has a critic score of 83 and a user score of 6.9, and the other has a critic score of 87 and a user score of 8.9. Which of those do we think is Hi-Fi Rush?
The latter.
It is the latter. So that statement is
Does that
utter
get me an extra point
bullshit.
on the quiz?
Yeah, I'll give you an extra point just for that. So now it's a
Hey.
tie. Well, hey. And so their statement is just pure bullshit because they're talking about doubling down and prioritizing their blockbuster games, and yet they're shutting down the studio that's produced their best exclusive critically and according to the users, further and above the company who has far more resources. Like the main Bethesda team has far more resources and personnel than Tango Gameworks did, and yet apparently Starfield was great, and even though it undersold and didn't do as well as they wanted it to, and Hi-Fi Rush, which was a smash success on, you know, everybody's kind of metrics, albeit the sales probably weren't amazing because, again, of Game Pass. And one of those studios is being punished and the other is not. And while we don't want to see any studios being punished, it reeks of the statement that they've put out is just not true fundamentally. And I think if you look across Xbox's brand at the moment, I think you, all three of you, have already alluded to this of Phil Spencer's effectively trying to trim fat, but from studios where the talent is very, very good. And they've got nothing to replace it with. There's nothing to really justify this. What are they doubling down on? They've got no franchise or kind of game series that they've announced or that people are super excited for at the moment. And yet, apparently, they're reprioritizing those. And it reeks of these games don't make as much money as we need them to because Game Pass is costing us too much money at the moment. So we're just going to try and get rid of some. And they spent $8 billion to acquire Bethesda, and so far, I think they've cut more jobs and damaged more lives than they have released, you know, sold copies of games for them. So it's not a good look. And Phil Spencer, I think it was last year when he did that interview where he said, "We can't compete with Sony, and we can't, you know, manage in this space or whatever." Redfall was a failure on Microsoft's oversight on that project. They should have been looking at that and acknowledging that that project was never going to work. And the developers had been telling them, "Please let us cancel this and turn it into a single player game because it's what we're good at." And they didn't listen to them and it flopped. And that was Microsoft's doing for failing to provide good oversight over that. Because the same, well, albeit not the same team, but the same company produced Deathloop under Sony. And everyone knows how well that did. Even though I personally didn't like that game, it did incredibly well because Sony had the oversight to manage that project effectively. Every single Xbox exclusive or every single Xbox project that we talk about, we get really excited about the idea of it. And then it comes out and it's either underwhelming or it doesn't sell well or it's not X, Y, or Z. And that's a pattern. That's not an anomaly of bad luck. That is a pattern. And I feel like Spencer coming out saying all these lovely things in previous years, in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been nothing to show for any of that, really. And I'm a bit worried for Obsidian because Avowed is next on the block. And as, from what we've seen of Avowed so far, we haven't all really been particularly amazed by it or wowed. And I really fear that that's going to go the same way. And I wonder what people are going to think when a very beloved studio, like we've lost Tango, people love them. And Arcane Austin. I'm a massive fan of Arcane, albeit Redfall was a flop. But like I said, I don't think that was on the devs or the talent as much as it was the lack of oversight and supervision of that project. And I just think Obsidian are probably going to be the next in line. If Avowed doesn't cut the mustard, are they going to be the next to go when they decide that they're not raking in the money that they need? So I don't think you can complain about not being able to compete with Sony when you have an abundance of talent, of proven talent who make great games. You don't manage those companies or those teams effectively, and then you punish the teams for not having achieved what you wanted them to. I get that they are the publishing arm, they don't make the games themselves, but we all hoped when Microsoft took over this and Activision as well that we would see improvements and that they would help them move forward in a positive way. And all we've seen so far is games either underachieving or they're just cutting people left, right, and center. And it smacks really hard when Microsoft is a company worth, you know, trillions at this point, to see people losing their jobs when I think really the responsibility lies elsewhere. So I think it's really shitty, and the statement made me pretty pissed because I think the statement actually reads like a massive, "Oh, we really value these people as part of our family, but we're also letting them go because we don't care." And I was a bit like, it just smacks of just a rank feeling about the whole thing. So I don't know where Microsoft goes from here, really. I think it's a very negative trend, one I hope they stop, but I don't know where it stops from here, if I'm being perfectly honest.
It seems from the press release, or at least from the email, that they want to shift focus on Bethesda IP. So, what, The Elder Scrolls, Fallout?
All out.
I mean, does that mean putting more people on The Elder Scrolls to get it out faster, starting
Most
a brand new
likely.
Fallout,
No. Just means more money pushed into it. Because they're getting rid of the workforce, mostly. When they say they're going to switch over staff, I don't imagine anyone over at Tango Gameworks is going to ship country to work at Bethesda. And I don't think they'd work there remotely either, because that's probably not what their MO is. So parts of Arkane Austin will definitely go there, and maybe some of the other developers that are working on, I think, the mobile Doom game. But for the most part, I think it's just kind of their way of softening the blow, is that they're saying, we're not completely sacking everyone, but they're probably going to sack mostly everyone.
Yeah, we're only sacking most of them. Not everyone, though, so it's okay.
And with Activision being acquired, I think that's part of the process as well. That they kind of want these big IPs, like you just mentioned, Elder Scrolls and Fallout, and then we've got Call of Duty. It's like that's what they want their money to go to now. They do not care about the creativity they create. They care about the franchises that they've obtained, and they want to maintain them because they're the ones that have done well in the past. So now it's a case of like voting with our wallets for next year's Call of Duty and the rest of the games that are going to come out.
But then look at their own IP. I mean, look at, Perfect Dark. That's still floating around in nothingness. And, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything for Xbox fans to get excited about right now.
I'm even worried about Hellblade 2, because I think even though the previews have been very, very positive and I think the game will do very well, I think it's going to fall into the same thing where, because of Game Pass, they'll be like, oh, it's got a lot of downloads and people have played it a bit, but it's not going to make us loads of money, so we're going to trim Ninja Theory or whichever team it is down. And that even has me concerned as well. I just think if you're a
Funny
smaller studio under them.
little tidbit. Someone questioned the performance on PlayStation to a developer of Hellblade 2, and they deleted that person's tweet. And obviously this is completely speculative and a very like me at the court board putting red tape across it or whatever, red thread, but that to me is a bit like they're either pissed off at the statement or they just don't want that sort of attention because it's definitely coming to PlayStation.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think this is going to be their sort of stopgap of losing money to make their next upcoming releases multi-platform, but not telling anyone yet because people that have played on Xbox have bought it for these games. So if they know that they can get it elsewhere, they'd be fuming. So, yeah.
Do you think Game Pass will inevitably bite Microsoft in the ass?
I think it
Yes,
already
most
is.
definitely.
I think
I
that's
think
where a lot
it's,
of this is coming from.
yeah, I hate to say it. I think it's definitely been the most consumer-friendly thing we've ever had for video games ever. Period, but I think it's absolutely decimated the state of video games industry to a like incredible degree. I think platforms exclusives were doing a lot of pulling for a lot of third party de developers and publishers that Sony did has done quite a bit of where they kind of they're not necessarily on the Sony brand, but they'll have Sony exclusives. And I think that works a lot for independent studios to get that sort of funding and that sort of crowd. If they take a loss, then historically Sony have taken the loss, and they've not reconciled that by firing their employees. But it's something that's just gonna get worse if we create just a bigger bubble for it to get worse in.
Well, we'll see what happens. Xbox only 2 days ago announced their E3 showcase, well, their like E3 like showcase for June, which looks like they're going to show off a new Call of Duty, which very likely to be a remake of the original Black Ops, if rumors are to be believed. So yeah, that in itself is a indication that they are focusing on primarily AAA experiences for all the foreseeable future. And this just sucks. Because Hi-Fi Rush was superb. Arcade Austin was superb. And yeah, we really hope that anyone affected by this gets back on their feet very, very soon because, well, you guys are insanely talented. And this really sucks. Anyway, let's get over to PlayStation, who have had a bad week in themselves, actually. PlayStation U-turns after Helldivers 2 Steam backlash scraps the mandatory PSN account linking. This is again from Chris Scully and over at VGC. PlayStation have delivered a U-turn and scrapped its plans to require Helldivers 2 players on Steam to sign in with a PlayStation Network account. The requirement was present when the game originally launched, but after its unexpectedly early success led to severe technical issues, it was temporarily removed. Last week, Sony stated that the requirement would be returning on May 30th and that all players would need to have linked their Steam and PlayStation Network accounts by June the 4th. The news was met with a huge backlash from players, and the game was hit with over 100,000 negative reviews on Steam in less than 48 hours. The negativity continued over the weekend when the game was pulled from over 150 countries on Steam due to them not having access to the PlayStation Network. However, in a new tweet posted by the official PlayStation account on Twitter, the company has acknowledged its error and said it scrapped the plans to require a PSN account for the Steam version of the game. The tweet reads, "Helldivers fans, we've heard your feedback on the Helldivers 2 account linking update. The May 6th update, which would have required Steam and PlayStation Network account linking for new players, and for current players beginning May 30th, will not be moving forward." So, that's a very, very quick U-turn by Sony on this particular bit of news. How do you feel about this? Miles, this is an interesting one because, you know, you think on paper, yeah, people signing up for accounts, it's not that big of a deal. But a lot of players take this kind of stuff very seriously. And yes. So much so that Sony have now scrapped the entire idea.
Yeah. I feel like when you fostered a community which is so massively immersed in the whole joking thing of super democracy and you decide to try to do something that's probably not super democracy, you're kind of asking for shit to hit the fan. Initially, I saw it as it isn't the biggest deal in the world because the account setup is free. But I did query Sony's reasoning, which was that it would increase security. I'm like, you're a company that's been hacked like 9 times in the last 10 years. I don't really think you can be arguing that it's more secure to have to link an account. I feel like other games on the platform, like, for example, we've been playing Top Spin recently, and you have to make a 2K account in order to do that. And there are other examples, you know, Ubisoft games, I think, do this in places where various different kind of online games will usually make you make an account of some sort in order to access it. And it's to get you in the ecosystem so they can just ply you with marketing shit. So it's not unheard of. It's kind of unheard of that this happens months after the game has already released. So people have bought the game on Steam. They've been able to play it for, I think it's what, 2-3 months now. And then all of a sudden, Sony now decide they're going to lock you out of your game unless you make an account. And I think that's actually where the sticking point has really come for a lot of people of, I've had access to this. I paid for it on a different platform. Why do you now get to lock me out of that when you're not even related to where I purchased it in the first place? I think Sony thought this would be kind of a storm and a teacup and that it would pass, but they've underestimated that Helldivers are some of the most passionate motherfuckers to ever exist. And in a way, I was glad to see the community push back on it and actually reverse the change successfully. And I'm pleased for Arrowhead Studios because I saw the head of the company was also thanking the fans for pushing back at Sony on their behalf. I think it was very clear it was a publisher decision, not a good one. And so I feel like it's a good outcome, but they've also said that they're just not planning to roll out at this time. And I'm like, if you try this again later down the line, you're going to have the same response again. So I wouldn't try it again. But also I saw, was it one of the community managers like responded to some of the people who were like posting reviews and stuff in the forums And they were like, oh, I thought you guys said you were going to leave. Why are you still here? And they were like, what the fuck are you doing? So it was kind of a shit show, partly of Sony and the kind of publishing arm Zone making. Was it as big of a thing? Probably not necessarily, but I think it's more the industry as a whole is in such a bad place, and people are so pissed off with things, with publishers and dev teams and whatever, kind of being greedy or taking away your ownership of games and all that kind of thing. I feel like this was one of those step too far kind of moments where, same with Battlefront 2 with loot boxes, like it just got pushed to a point where people have had enough. And it's not this instance in particular that's been that bad. It's been the history of all the things that have come before it that have led to this point. So yeah, I think it's more a reflection that people are pissed at the industry and the publishers, the big companies need to get a grip of. I think people are just going to start to push back more and more and more, so they need to get their act together a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, this is a game that was already massively successful.
Yes.
Unexpectedly so, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, 100%. I didn't expect it to do gangbusters the way it has.
And then to bring in a policy like this, kind of like right at the height of its success, was just like, well, that's dumb.
Yeah, just stupid. Like, why would you bother? There's no need for this.
No, everyone's happy. Everyone's having a great time playing this game. You know, it's like, right, hang on a minute. We need to reclaim some of this game. And remind people that, you know, we are the publishers behind it or something. And it's just very odd.
I think also the fact that it was locked in, I think it was 177 countries who don't have access to PSN. So you've instantly locked out loads of people who probably have bought and purchased this game and now they can no longer play it. That is an absolute no. Like, you cannot be doing that 2-3 months after launch and then locking people out of something they have purchased and spent money on. And luckily, Steam showed why they're the good party in this, because they actually issued refunds to people even beyond their policy, because they were quite clearly in agreement this shouldn't happen either. I think that's the big thing. I think there is a plan to restore the access for those countries again. But it's just super short-sighted and just stupid. Like you said, everyone was loving it. Why mess with it? People are having a good time. Don't fuck with them.
Yeah. And there's brand new content coming soon, isn't there? There's some ice levels coming soon.
Yeah.
And it looks really fun. So just leave it. It's fine.
Leave it alone. Just
let it be, man.
Let us have nice things.
Yeah. God, please. Kat, why do big companies suck? I don't know where I was going. I don't know what I was going to say.
Because they
I wanted to bring you into the conversation.
Greedy. Do you know what? I mean, I don't think. I think Miles has put it very eloquently, because I think he's done a timeline of what exactly happened. You know, kind of highlighting the initiate of like the community being like, "Why are you so mad though? This happens of everything." To then, you know, being doubled down on and being like, "Fine, we're going to remove it." Like, it just, and then they're like removing the removal of the thing, and then they're still removing it from the countries. Like, that's wild. So no need to involve me in the conversation. I'm right there with this train. I'm on the train. I was catching up with Miles about it yesterday anyway. I think he's one of the best people to speak on it. I've got a dad, really, but I am riding that train because I do think this is ridiculous. And I do think that, yeah, I didn't know this thing about Steam, actually, that they'd issued refunds beyond their policy. Yeah, there's some big companies out there, Oscar, that do not suck. Steam, Valve being one of them.
Yeah, go Steve.
Yeah, go Steve Bob. Woo!
Cool. Yeah, it's just nuts. It's all power to the people today, isn't it? I love it. You know what I mean? Josh, have you got any closing thoughts on this?
No, they've put it both excellently. That's exactly how I feel. It's weird that this sort of movement came alongside the whole Stellar Blade, Free the Stellar Blade movement. For some reason, yeah. There were some gamers that were adjacent with this one. Please don't do that. We don't want fascists in our games. So yeah, that's weird. But other than that, it's been a strange time. You know, we've got Xbox being bastards. We've got Sony implementing weird login things that we've always had. Like Mars said, we've always had different things that run different games, but. The fact that it was taken away from them was like a step too far. Yeah. And then we've got the Kendrick and Drake beef this week. So, you know, it's been just a wild ride all round.
You've got Zendaya turning up in two different outfits at the Met Gala. I mean, honestly.
Oh my god. It's to signify the two different men she messes around with in Challengers, which is a great film. It's not going to be in my recommendations, but...
I was like, what are you going to say about Tom Holland? But I see where you went with that.
I'm looking forward to seeing Challengers. Looks that's a good sign.
Yeah, it's all right.
But yeah, it's just wild. And there's Nintendo on the side. It's like, hey, we sold 1 million copies of Princess Peach's Showtime. Hey! Go us!
We all clap.
Yeah. They had their end of year earnings call this week, and they said the Switch 2 will be announced in the next fiscal year, so anytime before April of next year. So that's just exciting. Something you probably already knew, but nice to have it confirmed. Right then, what's next? What is next? Why have I lost my list? Where's my list gone?
Is it the Horizon news?
Oh, it is the Horizon news. Yes, indeed. Okay. Thank you very much indeed, guys. Sony
That's
is
quite
pulling.
All right. I read the agenda. I listen.
Yeah, you do. I'm glad someone does, because I don't, apparently. Even though I'm the one that puts it together. It's weird. Sony is pulling Horizon Zero Dawn from the PlayStation Plus game catalog. This is Tom Ivan over at, yes, you guessed it, VGC. Sony is removing Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition from the PlayStation Plus game catalog this month. Whilst the PS4 game is currently available to PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium members, it will leave the service on May 21st, according to its PlayStation Store listing. That's the same date another 25 games will leave the service, including 6 Final Fantasy titles. Horizon Zero Dawn's upcoming removal is notable, given it's a first-party game and one that has sold over 20 million copies across PS4 and PC, according to Sony. As reported by Push Square, the last time a game published by Sony left the game catalogue was when Spider-Man was removed in May 2023, as part of what the platform holder called a normal content refresh. It was pulled from PlayStation Plus 5 months from the release of the PS5 sequel, Spider-Man 2. In late 2022, it was reported that Sony was planning to release a remaster of Horizon Zero Dawn for PS5, a claim which VGC was able to corroborate via its own sources at the time. Now, so we're looking at an idea that Horizon Zero Dawn's original version is now going to be replaced with a remaster of the original Horizon Guerrilla game. Kat, do we need a Horizon Zero Dawn remaster?
Not really. It came out, 5 years ago?
Yeah, it still looks pretty good.
But we have, like, a Last of Us 2 remaster, so, I mean, fucking what do I know? I don't think we do, especially if Sony are going to be business dicks about it and put it for, like, £50. Hopefully it's a £5 upgrade, like it has been with Ghost of Tsushima and Spider-Man. I guess, you know, their excuse, just like, you know, everybody's excuse is, well, what are we doing for The Last of Us? It worked out really well, and we have two, and we just wanted to have one, you know, at the same quality as two, even though two is shockingly shite. So I imagine that they've gone, do you know what? Two looks fucking beautiful. Like, Forbidden West, Chef's Kiss, that's still the most beautiful game I've ever played. Yes. And... you know, I still think Horizon 1, it does still, what's the word I'm looking for? It still checks out. I don't know what the phrase I'm looking for is. Holds up. Still holds up. It still holds up. It still checks out. It still looks beautiful. So, I don't know. This is price dependent. I don't think we need it. Maybe people want it. I guess it's one of those things, isn't it, of like, this, you know, we do have... the TV series coming out at one point eventually. I think that might have maybe been a good chance to remaster it, because I, you know, to my knowledge, that's not even coming out anytime soon, and that would have put like an extra year or two on the old one, and that would have been a good way to reintroduce Horizon. You know, you'd have probably been like 6-7 years later then, but you know, again, what do I know? We have The Last of Us 2 remaster that came out like 5 minutes ago. So,
well, yeah, I mean, it's an odd one to choose, I think. Because, yeah, as you say, it looks amazing. And there is a 60 frames upgrade for PS5 anyway for this game.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. It's, it,
it, I love Aloy. I mean, if it comes with a different trophy stack, then can't be fucking in. But it won't. I actually might do. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we need it. I mean, will I jump in? Yeah, probably. Will I notice a difference? Nah, probably not.
That's the thing, isn't it? Mars, would you like some extra polygons on Aloy's original face?
No. I feel the same way about this as The Last of Us Part 1 and 2 being redone again. Again, like Kat alluded to, the price point is going to be a big thing. If they charge £70 for this, I'm going to fucking explode. I did over The Last of Us Part 1, and I think I'll explode again. Listen, it was a great game. I didn't get on with Forbidden West nearly as well as I did with the first one. I adore the first Horizon Zero Dawn, but it still looks amazing. Like, it still looks phenomenal. And I don't really see the need for an upgraded version. I get the whole bringing it into parity. If it is like a £10 upgrade, fine. I won't particularly be interested in getting it myself, but I can see the need. If it's more of like a remake style where they're going to rebuild the graphics entirely and redo a lot of the world and all the rest, and it is fairly priced, then it is something that I guess I would be interested in just because the original is one of my favorite open world games. I think it's awesome. I don't know. It just feels a bit like it's going to be another stopgap that Sony need to put in for like a gap in their portfolio for a bit if they don't have any other releases coming. And it feels like hey, we've got this game again. So here you go. Have fun with this for 2 months until something cool is coming out. It's worked. You know, The Last of Us Part 2 remaster, I think, did well. The Last of Us 1 remake did super well. So as much as I don't particularly like the practice of it personally, it's quite clearly successful and Sony very rarely seem to miss when it comes to this kind of stuff. So yeah, I think it's odd, but I think it's still going to sell like hotcakes. So what do I know?
You and Kat need more faith in yourselves, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys do a video game podcast that you've done for nearly 150 episodes.
Oh, God,
You
yeah.
know a lot of stuff, both of you.
Oh, thanks.
You're super awesome, and that's why you're here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're cutie patootie, aren't you?
Yeah, I really am. Anyway, Josh, would a Horizon Zero Dawn remaster remake get you back into that world, do you think?
The second one hasn't,
Okay.
unfortunately. I keep downloading that game, playing a bit of it, and then just getting distracted. And I profusely apologize to Kat because I know she loves it, but there's just something that's not kind of gripping me to finish it. But I do kind of just want to speak on kind of just the fragility of having your games not be in your own ownership because it's actually on a service instead. Because I didn't want to play Stray, but I was just checking through my library and I'm starting to see a lot of like locks pop up on my library screen. And that's because it was once officially on the library for PlayStation Plus or the essential library that you can get your games from and download them as long as you're a PS Plus subscriber. And they're popping up more and more often. And I think Stray was one of those where I was just like, huh, that was like a day one on release PlayStation published game. I want to say it's published by Sony. I know it's third party, but anyway, it had like exclusivity on PlayStation Plus for a little bit at least. So that was kind of like alarm bells for me to start picking up games physical. I've got Sea of Stars pre-ordered, which is a PS Plus essential right now that you can pick up on the library for no extra cost. You can just download and play it. However, I know that that's going to go at some point. It's just bound to, like everything else that is leaving us. So yeah, I think just if you are really highly relying on these games to play them whenever you like, and you think that you'll get back to it at some point, just really go for the ones that you really like. If you don't finish it, or if you thought about wanting to play it, just pick it up. Go for it. Just buy physical or something like that, so you can actually have the convenience of never having to go back, go through your previous games and thinking, oh, I did used to have that until now. Because that's just how live services are happening these days. I think Game Pass obviously do a better job of it. They don't necessarily get rid of their games as frequently as PlayStation looks like they have been doing. They're really, really recycling through titles. What they must do is just buy like a contract for a few months from a publisher, and then once that contract's over, that's it. It just goes. So just be wary of it. I've seen that there is True Trophies, I want to say. Yeah, TrueTrophies.com. They dole out a whole list of what games are leaving, and when they're leaving, around the time. So right now they've got a full list of what's leaving in May, because it's not just Horizon. Like Ross said, it's also quite a lot of the Final Fantasies, I think from 7 up till 15, that if you can play them on PlayStation 4, they're there, but they will be gone. So yeah, just bear that in mind. Just make sure if you download the games, don't be like me and download them and then think at 8 months later that you really get round to it, that you're going to play it, because I did that with The Medium, never got to play that. Although maybe I don't want to. But yeah, just buy physical, man. That's my takeaway from it.
There might be a very shiny special edition for the Zero Dawn remaster, which might get people onto
There
physical.
will be.
Yeah,
Yeah.
which you can only buy in a corner of a Sports Direct, because that's the world we live in now.
Oh, I pre-ordered a physical edition for a game at Game recently, and I was really reluctant to, because I was like, I don't even know if they're good if I'll if they'll be able to make good with it by the end of the year, because it comes out in October. I was like, thankfully you don't have to pay anything until release, but God, it was, I'm just like, I don't think that's going to come to my door. I don't think they're going to reach till October.
I think whatever we've learned from this kind of like closure of these studios is that pre-ordering is becoming a more and more dangerous thing to do, because there's now these people out there that pre-ordered Redfall that have got all this like 2-3 years DLC planned and already paid for, and now they're not going to get it. So yeah, it's a good lesson there, I think. Be wary. Moving forward
For
with
sure.
pre-orders. Rather than, yay, it's wishlist time. I love wishlist time. Resident Evil 9 could be released in January. It's been claimed. This is Jordan Midler over at, well, VGC. The game will have the biggest budget in series history, according to an insider. Resident Evil 9 could be revealed soon, with a release schedule for January 2025, it's been claimed. According to Dusk Golem on Twitter, who is a good follow, Resident Evil should be revealed soon and is set for early release in 2025. Dusk Golem has a strong track record of revealing confidential information about upcoming video games before they are made public. The possible delay I had heard rumors about can be pushed aside. Resi 9 should be revealed pretty soon and released next year. What I heard briefly holds true. It should be in January. It would have had about 7 years in development. Now then, Resident Evil 9. This is where I get to turn to the guys and say, hey, where do you want to see the franchise go next? Because we've seen Resi go in a million different directions. It seems a dumb thing to kind of guess where it might go next, but I'm curious to know what you'd like to see in the next Resi title. So, Josh, where would you like to see Resi go next? Would you like to see something more akin to 2-3, or would you like to stick in the Resident Evil 4 Village kind of style that they've been going into recently?
Now it's a tough one to talk about without spoiling what happens in 8.
I
if
think
they
the statue's closed on that now.
you think do you you're not a
Oh,
Resi fan, do you know what happens near the at the end,
I'd agree.
or
I think the time has come.
I know exactly what happens at the end. I watch guys play it.
Okay,
It's been years now, I think. If
so
you haven't completed Village and you're listening to this, then sorry, you've had plenty of time to play Village.
yeah,
Let's go.
it's goodbye everyone for me. No, yeah, Ethan Winters dies. He
Right.
sacrifices himself for his daughter, who also has this weird sludgy power that you realize you get in 8. I don't care for his daughter, so I wouldn't want the game to focus on his daughter. So with that said, I feel like it goes in threes in these games, so a third one makes sense that it would just continue the winter story regardless of where we're at and who we're following. Please don't turn out like six. But yeah, it's nine has had the longest development time out of any of the Resident Evil games that have come out. Outside of the remake of second one, seven and Village are like the highest selling out of the franchise. So I feel like they can't do too much wrong by going in the direction they have been, which is basically just being bigger, bolder, more bombastic, a little bit sillier, more campy, and just having a really good setting that may be bigger. I know there was a couple of murmurs around a few months ago before this news that Nine could be open world. I think Miles was like groaned at that idea. But I was quick to remind him of the Evil Within 2, which wasn't open world, but it had a couple of open level sections where you weren't really sure in which direction you were going, so you were just kind of going through all the houses on this area and kind of just getting spooked to shit throughout it. So for Capcom to go in a direction where the horrors aren't necessarily manufactured for you to go from, one end of the map to the other in a, on a level-based design, but more of an open design where anything could happen, and it's kind of just up to player urgency to kind of get where you want to go. I'd be really interested in that approach. I'd be so excited to just have like a game where it doesn't tell you where to go. You kind of just got to figure it out. So yeah, I'm quite vague. I'm quite open because I want it to be anything. I'm not too bothered because it's Resident Evil. But if it follows that structure that was rumored, I'd be all for it.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds like a fair enough reason to stick with what they've been doing. Just make it a little crazier than ever. Nice. Miles, have you got a similar thought, or would you like it to be set in the future with Kit Harington? I don't
Oh dear God. No, we
know.
can't go back to the Infinite Warfare days for Resident Evil. Come on, we can't be doing that. So I played the DLC for 8 because I picked up the it was like a gold edition or something of it on a sale. And I will say the DLC pretty much wraps up Ethan's daughter's story pretty much within that contained section. I would really struggle to see what they would actually do with that. So I think you're pretty safe that I don't think it's going to be a continuation on
Yes.
the winters. So, I mean, they could, but I genuinely don't know what they would do with it because everything's
Ethan's
kind of
going to
tied
come
up.
back.
They kind of did it, but he wasn't really back. It was like some weird ethereal shit. It gets really weird, but basically, Ethan is gone, basically, is the long and short of it. There's like some weird ethereal thing where he's like writing on the wall and stuff, and the game's like, oh, what could this be? And you're like, it's Ethan, obviously. It's so obvious, and the game's like, oh, it's Ethan. It's like, no shit. Thank you for confirming what was obvious immediately. But yeah, so it kind of ties up that story. I don't think they're going to go down that line. The only way I could see them doing it is if they went with Chris as the head, and they turned it into like a it's like Resident Evil 5 remake, except we're turning it into this whole new timelines version of Chris Redfield, which I think could be a way to, if they really wanted to go crazy whamey about it, they could tie in the RE5 remake to this Resident Evil 9 and then combine the timelines somehow. If they really wanted to a bit whammy with it, which I don't think they will, but I think they're going to reset the series again. I think Capcom have learned their lesson after 6, which was they flew way too far in one direction, turned loads of people off. It got absolutely trashed by everybody. I hated the game. I played it twice, didn't manage to finish it either time. And I think they quite like to do their stuff because if you think of over 7 and 8, they've done a lot of DLCs as well. So they've probably had like the same amount of time or content overall as they would do for like a pack of three typically that they would have done before. So I think they're going to go in a new direction again. I think they're going to reset it somewhere else, maybe within the same universe, but like a new story or a new take, or by following Chris, for example. There were rumors it was going to be a Resident Evil 1 remake, which might be alongside this or like coming out at a similar time, but it looks like this is going to be a whole separate entry instead. I'm excited for whatever it is. I think we've spoken about Capcom multiple times. They're the only, well, one of the few publishers in the industry right now who are the good guys. I'm supportive of pretty much everything that they're doing. The games they put out are all top quality, and they treat their employees really well and give them pay raises for doing good work. And I think we can all support that. So yeah,
Yes.
I'm excited to see where they take it. But like Josh said, please don't do another Resident Evil 6, or we will cry. We will just collectively all cry. So I also don't want it to be open world. I know the Evil Within 2 did like semi-open worldish type hubs, which was fine because it was condensed and it kept to the spirit of the original game. But I don't want an open world Resident Evil. I don't want it. So
Yes, we
yeah.
do.
What
Yes, we do.
if it's Resident Evil 9, but we have to call it Resident Evil 9-0. But going down the line, more trailers come out and the words start to mix up a bit and actually reads Dino.
Stop
And then it
that.
says Resident Evil Dino Crisis.
Stop
And it's
that.
just a Dino Crisis remake set in the world of Resident Evil.
Roscoe,
And
shut up.
it's Chris Redfield up against a fuck ton of dinos.
They could charge
Amazing.
£200 to watch Chris Redfield boulder punch a dinosaur, and I would absolutely pay triple that. I want to watch Chris Redfield absolutely like 2 foot tackle a dinosaur velociraptor straight in the face, and I
Well,
would pay so much money.
we've seen all the crossovers in Exoprimal.
I mean, why
It's
not just throw Exoprimal in there as well? That's how they get back
of
to Dino
course.
Crisis Island. Fuck it. He gets an
Oh my
exosuit.
God.
Chris Redfield is the exosuit now.
Turns out that the Capcom games are just a big universe.
Yes. It's like the MCU, but with dinosaurs and shit.
The Capcom game universe, CGU, GUG.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I'm
what I
all
do.
about money.
Anyway,
If there's a single line in there that's truth, like they owe us money as
yes,
a
they do.
company.
Yes, they do, Capcom.
Yep.
I know you're listening. I know you're listening. And we really want Dino Crisis, so let's make Dino Crisis, eh? There's a good lad.
We'll
There's a
pay
good
some
lad.
good money, I promise.
We will. We'll pay for it. We won't even ask for code. We'll all pay for it, I promise.
Yeah, I'll buy it just out of happiness.
Yeah.
I'll buy three copies. I don't even care.
Okay, Greg might ask for code, but the rest of us will pay for it. Okay, promise. Cap, I know you're not big on Resi, but is there anything in Resi 9, something, a version of Resi that would get you excited?
I can answer for Kat on this one. She wants a Mr. X only game where he just follows you the entire game.
No, I don't. No, get that in the bin right now. I was thinking about this because I thought, you probably are going to come to me. And to be fair, Josh said it before I got the chance to, but they haven't done an open world, and I wonder what that would look like for Resident Evil, or whether it would absolutely tank, or whether it'd actually go all right. That might be more interesting because I can control, sort of how much I shit my pants. But I don't like the walking, the fact that he walks around, right, and you're running everywhere like a fucking headless chicken, and somehow E. Michael Myers right up to you, like he just catches you up. What's that about? No, not for me, I'm afraid. Take a top hat and fuck off. I just piss off. I don't want it.
Take
Like
your
I
top
would
hat and
like a
fuck off is one of the
game.
best things I've heard in this year.
Okay, that's going to be the byline for this episode. Thank you very much.
I just want to sit in the safe room. That's the game that I would play for Resident Evil, where I can sit in the safe room and he can just stare at me through the window. Actually, one of my favorite things to watch is people like comb in and out on TikTok of the safe room and out of the safe room and see Mr. X kind of turn around, start like chasing you. Although he's not chasing, he's Michael Myers-ing you. He's just walking up to you. And then, like, obviously, when you get in the safe room, he turns back around, and people have like developed like different scenes. And there was one where, like, every time he goes up the stairs, you go out of the safe room, and he's like, "No, wait a minute here." And then you go back in the room, and he's like, "Never mind." And he's like, "No, wait a minute." And it's so stupid, but it is really funny. So those are my two ideas: one where you just do that perpetually forever,
Sweet.
and the second one, take a top hat and fuck off to an open world game. Where you don't chase me with walking. It's not fun for anyone.
I'm down with that.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you for
Yeah.
listening to the Resident Evil TED Talk.
All right. Capcom, you got a plethora of ideas there. We'd like to see at least one of them come to fruition. That'd be pretty cool. So yeah, Resident Evil 9 possibly announced this year. It seems pretty likely. And maybe released early next year. How exciting. But rather, let's get to recommendations just so we find something throughout the week that we want to share with you, our loyal listener, whether it be a movie, a game, a TV show, a book, a pair of trainers, or a chocolate bar. Who knows what it could be this week. Kat, do you want to go first? What is your recommendation?
My recommendation is I watched a film on Netflix. If you like, just want like an easy watch. It's called Queen Pins. If you've ever seen Good Girls, it's kind of like the film version, sort of, except it's about couponing. I really like Kristen Bell. I think she's really funny. I love The Good Place, and I just think like whatever
holy
she's been
freaking
in since.
Shirt balls, yeah.
Oh, why can't I say fork? you can't swear in here. So I love The Good Place, therefore I love Kristen Bell. I listen to Dax Shepard's podcast like every single week. That's Armchair Anonymous. There's a little special bonus recommendation. But there is a film on Netflix called Queen Pins. And it's essentially about a woman who, you know, there's like a sad story at the beginning where she tries for a baby, she has a miscarriage, and she inevitably doesn't want to work, she doesn't want to do anything. She's like grieving, trying to like find and build her time, and starts couponing. And I don't know if you know about the couponing culture in America. It's absolutely like, I know a lot of Americans listen to this podcast. Man, it's like the zombie apocalypse of America. Like, you've got the people who prep for what they call doomsdayers, and then you've got couponers. Couponers, they're a different breed, man. They'll sit all day. And I've seen, I can't remember what the show was called, but there was a show, I think it was like called Coupon Craze or something like that. Something like that. Couponer, coupon something, something. Anyway, I digress. And people can like get like £500 worth of groceries and get the supermarket to pay them back. It is wild. So like they will like have so many coupons, but then the coupons aren't like regulated like they are in the UK. And so they'll end up owing them money. So it will be like something like buy this toilet roll and get £1. But then couponers will save like 7 of them and get like 7 big bulks of toilet roll and then £7 back, but plus all this other coupon shit. So they have like, they end up with like hordes and hordes of like random shit. So they'll have like 40 fairy liquids all at once because it makes kind of like financial sense to do that for their hobby. Anyway, it goes pretty wild. People are really, really like, some people are like real into it. But this is about a lady who starts couponing and then believes that she can sell the coupons that she gets for free to make money, which is legal and fraudulent. But she essentially tries to run this like undercover business and it ends up like just going madder and madder and madder and madder and more ridiculous. And it's Kristen Bell. So that's on Queen Pins. It's just a very easy comedy. You know, I said to Josh, it was like, I was watching it at like 1 a.m. and I was like, that's a very 7.5 film.
Like, yeah, sometimes you need one of those, don't you?
Yeah, you just need something to put your brain in a jar. It's just like fancying a film, saw it on the trailer, was like, I mean, what's not funny when it's Kristen Bell? Nothing. So sure. Yeah, that's my recommendation.
Sweet, thank you very much. Nice. I shall check that out. It sounds like a lot of fun. Miles, what is your recommendation?
I actually have a couple, dear Roscoe. I'll make them
for
quick.
For goodness' sake.
I promise I'll be quick. I promise. Look, it's been a while since I've been here. I've played games, okay? First one is Hex Guardian, another nerd game. It's a tower defense one, but it's this really kind of cool little charming concept where each
cool.
like level...
Is it cool?
Yeah. Yeah, is it's cool, cool, man. Yeah, play it. You'll love it. Then you'll think it's cool. Yeah, then you'll eat your words. It is a cool game. And then it's like on a series of hexagons. So each kind of level you get to like expand the map and like make the enemies kind of spawn in from further away. So it's a mix of using your towers really well, but also making like the land itself harder for the enemies to kind of traverse. It's a really cool little game. And it's well worth checking out if you like kind of tower defense type stuff. It's got a really nice art style. It's a really nice game, Roscoe. Okay. It's nice. We're nice people here.
Okay, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And then the second one is the polar opposite, which is Harvest Hunt, which is a roguelite horror game where you're constantly chased by this creature in a field. And you have to gather enough ambrosia, which is like the little plant thing that you have to go around and collect throughout the village, in order to fill up to a certain threshold. You've got five characters, each of them has to survive 5 nights, and you have to reach a certain threshold with each of them in order to complete the game successfully. And it's very, it needs more in terms of content. There's only one map, there's only one creature, but there's lots of variations in how you can have to traverse the map. So, like, for example, the water might be poisoned, or the fiends, which can like spot you and call the creature, might become more aggressive or stuff like that. So it's got like a deck building kind of card randomizer aspect to it, which is really well done, actually. The actual randomization is great. And it's a very cool little roguelite if you're into horrors as well and you want to have something that will scare you for a few runs at least. I did enjoy it. It just needs more work. I've got a full write up on the site, but I also wanted to throw it out as a mention because I think it's got a really good kind of platform and hopefully it'll get supportive with more content as it goes forward. And I think that Roscoe, you and Kat should have to play it. I think you'd have a great time.
Nah, I'm right.
I think you should. I think you'd
No,
have a
good
really
though.
cool, I think you'd have a really fun time, mate.
This is the Neonhive game, isn't it?
Yes.
One of their first published. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love Neonhive and good luck to them. I hope this thing does gangbusters. But I'm fine. I'm fine. Thank you.
I think you'd really like it, mate. I think you'd have a
Fine. It's
really, really
really.
happy time playing it.
That's the same. I'll
It's
tell you
very
what.
relaxing.
I'll tell you what. Well, does look like fun. It's Crow Country. That looks like a lot of fun.
It is good.
I am
Well, from
excited.
the demo bit that I've played.
I'm excited to hear all about that very, very soon on the Thinking of Podcast. What? Coming
What
soon.
is
We'll see.
that?
No idea. Sometimes these guys just go behind my back and do interviews. Don't tell me anything. But it's fine. I'm looking forward to it. Josh, what is your recommendation this week?
Yeah. Look out for tomorrow or today if you're listening to it, or yesterday. It depends when you listen to it. Who knows? Anyway, it wouldn't be a recommendation for me if it wasn't another movie, because that is all I do if I don't play video games or go to work. I'm recommending the latest from writer director Alexander Payne, who you might know from Sideways, The Descendants, Nebraska. But his latest film is The Holdovers with Paul Giamatti, the Oscar award-winning Divine Joy Randolph, and introducing Dominic Sessa. It is a film about Christmas period where Dominic Sessa's character is left at boarding school over the t over that over the holiday. And Paul Giamatti character is one of the teachers in the school, and he has to look after these kids that are getting left behind, basically. Holding over winter is kind of like the term for the film's name. And yeah, it is a brilliant comedy. It is also very moving, so you're gonna laugh, you're gonna cry, you're gonna cheer, and I just absolutely loved it. Think of maybe Rushmore, by Wes Anderson, mixed with, God, I don't know. It just gave me very Rushmore vibes, because it's like set in a boarding school. It's very quirky and funny, and the performances are brilliant. I really love the aesthetic. It's set in the 70s, kind of the Vietnam War is kind of in the background of this story, with some of the cat that relate to some of the characters, and it's just a really intricate and well-written script, that I can't recommend enough. It was a brilliant film. So yeah, go watch The Holdovers.
Whereabouts can we see it?
I bought it on Blu-ray because
Okay.
it this we're in the period now where all those Oscar nominated films are coming out this month. I've just bought The Iron Claw today. Well, my wife bought The Iron Claw today and Past Lives, so that'll probably be my recommendation that w next week, one of those. But yeah, so it's on digital, so you can rent it or buy it on digital. It's not on any streaming platforms as of yet, for what I know, but yeah, definitely worth checking out.
Oh, that
What
is the
about you though,
Holdovers.
Roscoe?
Well,
What would you like to recommend to us?
mine's also a movie,
Oh.
but it's a non-recommendation
Oh.
recommendation. Don't watch Strays, guys.
Oh.
This is a film from, on paper, sounds like a winning thing. You've got Will Ferrell, you've got Jamie Foxx, you've got Will Forte, you've got Phil Lord, Christopher Miller, the guys behind, you know, Spider-Verse, the 21 Jump Street, and, you know, the Lego films. Just sounds like a winner. Man, I hated this movie. Oh, it was so bad. I watched it last night. It's on Sky Cinema now. And, oh, it's just about these strays. They're just dogs. And it's all voiceover. So Will Ferrell plays this little dog called Reggie. Jimmy Fox plays Bug. And they're just dogs who go on an adventure to get revenge on Reggie's owner who abandoned him. And it sounds kind of sweet. It's got a sort of a Homeward Bound kind of style to it. They all talk. All their mouths move. It's all that kind of Lion King kind of style. But man, it's a bad film. It just wasn't funny. I think I maybe laughed maybe 3 or 4 times and after the last 15 minutes when it was like one-liners that had nothing to do with the story. And it was just, I don't know, maybe I'm 37 now and I've grown out of this kind of sort of humor, but if I was maybe 15, I probably would have loved it. But it was just, it was a real throwback to those kind of Farrelly films of the 90s. Like There's Something About Mary, that kind of stuff. It's just swearing and toilet humor. And it never felt cohesive. It never felt like it was really working. It was just kind of like setups for jokes that didn't really land all that well. And unfortunately, I really didn't enjoy it. The trailer kind of had me hooked. I was kind of excited to watch something kind of stupid and, you know, funny about dogs. But yeah, it didn't work for me, unfortunately. And as such, I wasted my night watching it last night when I could have been probably watching something like The Holdovers or The Equalizer 3, which is also now on Sky Cinema that I'm probably going to watch soon. So yeah, unfortunately, stay away from Strays. It's not one you're going to want to take home. Wink.
Sounds pretty rough.
Oh, I love you, man. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for joining in. I'm glad someone did. So yeah, disappointing. But there you go. We move on. Not everything can be gold. But ladies and gentlemen, that does bring us on a end to the Fingons podcast. Don't forget, if you want to follow us, you can follow us absolutely everywhere. Just go to the link tree in the description below to find us in all the places. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can at FNGRGNS. All of our individual handles are in the description below. Except for Miles, of course, he's smart and not on Twitter. If you really like what we do, why not follow our Patreon for $1 a month? You can keep this podcast live on its various podcast hosting services and keep the website nice and shiny. And of course, if you are a Spotify or Apple podcast user, you can leave us a review. Go down there, give us 5 stars if you liked it. Give us 5 stars if you didn't. Hey, what's it to you? It keeps the podcast in at the searchability for games and keeps us front page when those searches are open. So please do that. I know some of you have, and those who have, I'm very grateful. Thank you very much indeed. Let's keep it going and get these numbers up a little more so the Fingons podcast can grow even bigger than it already is. Because, well, that would just be the dream. But until then, until next week, until that auspicious occasion when we are all back together again, talk video games, hopefully in a more positive way next week. It is goodbye from Kat.
See you later.
It is goodbye from Miles Thompson.
Farewell.
It is goodbye from Josh Thompson.
Goodbye, everyone.
And it's goodbye from me. My name is Roscoe. We'll see you next time on the Finger Guns Podcast.